a shade earlier than 10:30 on my watch, but that's such a beautiful song to take us into our service. We'll pause right there, I think. Welcome. It's good to see you all. It's good to have people returning to us who we've not seen for a while. It's good to be here. As somebody prayed in our deacon's prayer time before the service, it was good when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord to worship. And it's a privilege to be here. There are many who would love to be here, but can't be. And we give greetings to those who are listening to the recording online later on this week, that they're sharing in this service with us. Let's pray. Lord, we don't take for granted the privilege of being here in this place. We thank you that you've warmed it up for us with the radiators, but more importantly with your Holy Spirit, that you have prepared this place through the week as it's been prayed in and worshipped in on Wednesday, on Friday, on Saturday. We thank you, Lord, that you have prepared this place for us to meet you. And we pray that you'd open our ears and our hearts and our eyes to see you, to know you, to worship you, and to be transformed, to be changed by you. Amen. Amen. There's one group of people that are missing today, and that's our children. A lot of our children don't come on the Sunday after Messy Church because they are completely exhausted by having had such a great time. We had 26 children yesterday, and a few adults as well, looking after them. And it was a good time. Who was there? Have a look around. See who was there. Look, they survived. We had to get extra chairs. Isn't it a good thing when you have to get extra chairs? So we had to get extra chairs. And fortunately, we had plenty of food and drink and love. The tables in the activity centre were all full of people doing all sorts of things, and also some quiet tables with just one or two on. And it was a precious time, precious time. So thank you to all those who've prayed, thank you to those who've come, and keep on promoting it. And if we get too many, that's a lovely problem to have, and we'll think what we do about that. Hungry Hearts next week, it's still going through on the thing, if we can take that off now, Hayley. Next week, Hungry Hearts Lunch Club. For those who don't know, it's an opportunity to eat with others rather than eating on your own. So bring your lunch, put it on the table, share together. It's a lovely time, just for those who don't want to eat on their own on a Sunday lunchtime. So do come if you'd like to. A really important notice, most important of all of them today, and that is we have our church meeting on Tuesday. We normally have 4 or 5 church meetings a year. And this next one coming up Tuesday, it's open to everybody who's a regular member of the congregation. Do come along. Together we discern the mind of Christ. We listen to the Holy Spirit. It's as much about praying as it is about business and communication. So do come if you can. Even if you've not been before, do come, particularly if you've not been before, do come. We're going to be focusing on backwards in terms of looking at the accounts for last year, forwards, the budget for this year, and particularly, what is God's priorities? What are his priorities for this year? So I'm hoping it's going to be a good time. Anybody say the last church meetings have been a good time? Good. Nobody's saying, no, it was awful. My chief aim in life as pastor of this church is to have good church meetings. Because I know in the past people have experienced such awful church meetings. And our hope is that with love and compassion and interest and excitement and the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll always have good church meetings. So, that's our last notice. Last week's scripture, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, It is the power of God. If you want that on a memory verse, there's some slips on the table. It's also on our website at the moment. I want to say thank you for David and Andrew, who have progressed our work, our website, developed it, and there's lots on there. And there's one heading, thought for the week or word for the week, and we're going to try and be disciplined in putting on a scripture there each week so there's something to look at. And it will often be the scripture we've looked at on the Sunday, but we'll see how it works. But to take us into worship, let's hear that word again. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Lord, help us today to see the cross for what it is, a display of your love and compassion and your power and your wisdom and so much more. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth, we pray. Amen. As usual with our worship time, please feel free to sit or stand, to use instruments or banners, or if you need a bit of quiet space, feel free to go to the Crosslink Centre, that's fine as well.
Gospel in the world shall not kneel, shall Great joy it is to come here and to worship your majesty. And we know that this does your heart good too.
Yes, sir.
To see all your people singing your praise.
Yes, sir.
And help us to continue doing it for the rest of the week. Amen. Because we pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you are in charge. You are King of Kings. As we see those in authority, those in power, making all sorts of decisions, disrupting, damaging, causing death and destruction. It's difficult to believe, but we declare you are Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We thank you for your patience with the nations, waiting for them to turn to you. Thank you that justice will be served in all the nations. And from all nations you will arise. We thank you for those that are calling out to you today in all nations. Many in secret. Many in the open because their buildings no longer exist. Thank you, Lord, for our sisters and brothers throughout the world who are worshipping you. And they're declaring that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their situation. So we must do the same. Amen.
Amen.
Be good if we could take up our offering now. We ask God to bless what we're going to give, to multiply it that many other people will know of his love. Josie and David, would you like to come up, please? going to pray for you. We're in a habit, aren't we, of praying for the preacher often, and it just really struck me that as we're doing now, we pray for the word that is read first before the sermon comes. So that's why they're both here. Father, we thank you for Josie and David, who are going to be bringing your word to us in different ways. We pray that you would anoint us and you would anoint your word, that your kingdom may come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's the whole chapter. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ, with him crucified. I came to you with weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches things, even deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except that what their own spirit is within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities, taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God for his word.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. This morning, as we continue our series, God's Wisdom in an Age of Foolishness, looking through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we come to chapter 2. Paul begins the chapter, as we've just heard, explaining that he didn't come with excellence of speech or worldly wisdom, because he wanted the faith of his hearers to depend upon the power of God rather than his own presentation. A couple of weeks ago, when David Burroughs brought to us chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, we saw that Paul railed against any popularity cult or hero worship by those who were saying things like, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. Let me read the first 5 verses of what we've just heard again. And you'll find my version slightly different in the wording to what it says in the Bible Josie uses. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Indeed, we know that Paul, who wrote such powerful letters to many churches during his ministry, and which we are still getting benefit from today, was not an eloquent speaker when he addressed people face to face. It comes out in 2 Corinthians, actually, verse 10 of chapter 10. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive. And his speaking amounts to nothing. And in chapter 11 of that 2 Corinthians, Paul himself says, I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. In this second chapter, Paul is teaching that in order to receive the gospel, we must first receive the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit if we are to understand the gospel, if we are to perceive what the message of the gospel is, and if we are to make the right response to the gospel. Paul goes on to say in verses 6 and 7 of our passage, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. You know, I've heard sceptical people say, in their view, if you go into a church service, you have to leave your intellect outside. Not so. Paul is not saying his message is anti-intellectual, and he's not saying it can only be understood by very simple people. We do speak a message of wisdom among the mature, he says, but not the wisdom of this age. And speaking about the situation in which the Corinthians found themselves, he goes on to say, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And it seems to me that Paul's message sounds very contemporary today. The world view is very similar now to what it was then. That's why Pastor Stephen has titled this series, God's Wisdom in an Age of Foolishness. Because that's what we're in. An age of foolishness. When Paul talked about the rulers of this age, he was meaning the Jewish religious authorities and the pagan Roman authorities. But when he referred to the mature in verse 6, he means people who have become believers in Jesus. God's secret wisdom is a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began, says Paul. But if we announce this to people around us today, most people will think that we're speaking a foreign language. I want to tell you a true story, something that happened to me back in the 1980s, which is humorous, but I hope gets a point across. Back in the 1980s, Josie and I went on holiday to the south of France in what's called a gîte, which is a sort of a cottage on a farm. And when we got there, we discovered some instructions about flies. It said in this paper, because you're on a farm and it's hot in the south of France, you're going to need to deal with flies. And it said that the fly sprays that you use back in Britain are no use. What you need is fly papers. Can you remember those things that are sticky and you hang them to the ceiling? So the next day we set off to the local town in search of fly papers, and we found this hardware shop, and we thought bound to have some in there, and it was a big shop, and we searched high and low. Could we find fly papers? No, nowhere. So I went to the counter where a man stood with his wife, presumably, and said, "Parlez-vous anglais?" No. They didn't speak a word of English. So I thought, right. Well, I'd learnt a little bit of schoolboy French years ago, and I could remember that paper was papier. And I'd read somewhere that flies in French are called mouche. So I said, with my best schoolboy French, "Avez-vous papier de mouche?" Well, their faces. Mad Englishman. And I thought, what am I going to do? So, to Josie's great embarrassment, I decided to mime it. So, I approached this counter where the couple were, flapping my wings and making a fly noise. And then I went, splat! And the man's face went, ah! And he went and fetched it off his shelf. But the story just illustrates how difficult life is if you don't have the right language. I admire people like Yuta Kari, a long-standing missionary friend who a lot of you have met, who can speak several languages fluently and a whole lot of other language enough to get by as well. In a foreign country, one can only understand what people are saying and get to understand the culture if you have first learnt the language. So I think that this is very important to say. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of our friends, our family members, and other people to whom we seek to minister, so that what we seek to share with them will no longer be foreign to them. Has to be the Holy Spirit's work. And it's only when we have received God's Spirit we can say with Paul, verses 9 and 10, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. This is why we often pray, as we did before I started to speak, Josie and me and Stephen, that the Holy Spirit will teach us and give us understanding of his word. Because without that, you can read the passage that's being preached about. The preacher can preach to the best of his ability. You can listen intently, but it will come to nothing unless the Holy Spirit is empowering us. You know, in the churches where I grew up, the Holy Spirit seemed a poor relation, hardly ever mentioned. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. But I sense perhaps I ought to be inviting him to dwell more deeply in my heart. And perhaps that's something we should all be thinking about. Paul says in verse 10 of our passage, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is able to reveal this wisdom because of his relationship with God. Because he himself is part of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity. He searches all things, and he is able to penetrate the deep things, the deepest of things. We see his divine nature in that he searches even the deep things of God. Now, only a divine being could know the deep things of the infinite and eternal God. And amazingly, if we are Christian believers, that same Holy Spirit who understands those deep things dwells within us. Paul talks about the parallel with human beings. In verses 11 and 12, he says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. I read a very helpful illustration written by a Presbyterian pastor whose thoughts I have found quite helpful as I've been preparing this sermon. And he said this: years ago, the movie Titanic was a huge box office success. I can remember that. I can remember going to see that with Josie, and it was one of the best things I had ever seen. One of the sparks, he says, that led to that movie was that the Titanic was actually found at the bottom of the ocean. Even though we knew approximately where the Titanic had gone down, the ocean is so deep and so dark to us that we couldn't see where it was. And because of the extreme cold and pressure, it would be dangerous for anyone to go near to try and find it. So what they used to find the Titanic were small remote controlled submarines with cameras and special equipment on them. And these submarines were able to establish a relationship with the depths of the ocean floor to see what was there. And they also had a relationship through electronic signals with those who were on the surface. And because of these relationships, They were able to give the message to those on the surface what exists in the depths. God has given us his word and his spirit that we might be able to see beyond our normal range of vision and know him. If we have come to know him, it's not because we are smarter or more insightful than anybody else. It is only the work of the Holy Spirit by God's grace. There's no room for pride on our part. The Holy Spirit has inspired the words of Scripture so that through them and through his word, we may come to know God and grow in our relationship with him. I think that the final words of the chapter, verses 13 to 16, speak for themselves, really, in view of all that. Paul says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and his work among us. We pray that we might receive his ministry and give our attention to your word and your work. Work in our hearts and in the hearts of those to whom we seek to minister, that our work might be fruitful for your glory. Amen.
Thank you, Dan.
And I know you won't be
offended by my saying thank you for the simplicity of what you just said. Because if it's complicated, it's not right. It's simple, isn't it? We need the Holy Spirit, and God has given us the Holy Spirit when we put our faith in Jesus. We have an opportunity now, as we have a couple of worship songs focusing on the Holy Spirit, to do just what David has encouraged us to do, to ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and deepen within us and do his work amongst us. As we worship, there'll be time of quiet. If God gives you a word or a prayer, then please feel free to bring it. He gives us spiritual gifts for the building up of the body. And if there's a spiritual gift he gives you, then do share it. I've already had to slap around the face another person in the congregation again for not sharing with us what God gave. But no, it's not true. Please, I did not slap anybody around the face. But in our Wednesday worship, God spoke to somebody a word. And he did the same again on the Wednesday we've just had. And they didn't feel they could bring it during it because they weren't sure whether it was right. And we did say, don't worry. We do the testing, you do the offering. So if God gives you what you think might be his word, just bring it and we'll test it, we'll discern it, because we have the mind of Christ together. So let's worship and listen to him. Feel free to sit or stand. Please accomplish in us today some new work of loving grace. We pray unreservedly. Have your way. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, we pray that you take away fear. You take away ignorance. You would show us who you are. The Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of the Father. Just like Jesus, another counselor, another comforter, just like Jesus. Help us to know the truth about who you are and to welcome you. We only know about Jesus because of your Holy Spirit. So
show us Jesus
again, we pray.
In your presence, Spirit, more.
chorus one more time. Hayley, if you can put the words up for us, please. Spiritful. Reassurance, we are yours. You say to us so many times, do not be afraid. You are mine. But thank you, Lord, we are your children. It's your Spirit who reassures us that we're your children. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would deepen our understanding of who we are as your children. That you'd show us more of the love of God, the love of Jesus. Pray, Holy Spirit, you would do more of all the things that you were sent for, to comfort, to counsel, to encourage, to strengthen, to guide, to remind us of your word, to give us power, to give spiritual gifts for the building up of your body, to anoint and inspire the communication of the gospel. And Lord, our prayer is that we may speak the language of our culture. You give us languages. Sometimes you'll give us tongues of angels to speak. Sometimes you'll give us tongues of other people's languages on earth. And we want those, Lord. We want those gifts. But we also want the ability to speak plainly about you, in ways that people can understand. Each one of us, Lord, give us that gift, we pray. Amen. A long time ago, I had some training at New Wine. It was a great time at New Wine. I did some training on evangelism. And if any of you have heard of the three circles, that came from there. I'll tell you about that afterwards if you're interested to know. It's a great way of sharing the gospel, using three circles. And they taught us something different each day. And the training was really good, because, and we put it into practice straight away. And it stayed with me. I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But one of the things that they said was an easy way to pray when we're thinking of praying for people. And I'd like us to do it now. It's three opens. So there we are, another a three-point prayer sermon. There we are, it's nice and easy. Three prayers, three opens. We pray for people's hearts and eyes and ears to be open. And then we pray for our mouths to be open. And then we ask for heaven to be open. So we're going to pray now. I'll lead us in prayer for each of those. And I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to show you those people that he's wanting to open the ears and the eyes. We had a phone call yesterday from a member of the family. I'm not going to say who it was, but I think they sounded like they'd been on the juice, on the drink. They sounded jolly. Now, that's a word you would not have described this particular member of the family of. We have been praying for the last 40 years for their hearts to be open, and we've seen the warming and the opening over the last 40 years. But it feels like there's some jolliness coming. There's some opening coming. And so we're going to keep praying that in. So let's pray. We have heard today, Lord, that it is only your Holy Spirit that can open people's eyes and ears and hearts to see Jesus. to understand spiritual truth. So, Lord, as we think of the people you've put on our heart this morning, there's members of the family we regularly pray for, but there may be others that we're prompted by the Holy Spirit even now. In the stillness, notice who he's putting his finger on, giving you a picture of. Lord, we pray you'd open this person's heart to you. Open their eyes, their spiritual eyes, their spiritual ears, to see and hear the truth about Jesus. The message of the cross is foolishness to them at the moment. But we pray they would see it is the power of God for the salvation to all who believe. And Lord, now we pray that you would open our mouths, that we would have the courage to speak the word that you give us. Thank you for your reassurance this morning that we don't need clever words, intellectual words, long words, lots of words. We just need your word. The illustration that you give us, the personal story that we have lived, that we can share our testimony. Lord, let us not be put off with the fear that we will do damage, that we'll put people off Jesus, that we'll somehow make things worse. You are bigger than our mistakes, Lord. You are bigger than that. So, Lord, may we not hold back. Lord, may we be people that say, if in doubt, I will do it. Rather, if I'm in doubt, which I always am, I won't do it, because then we never will. Give us your courage, we pray, to open our mouths, and you will fill it with your words. You've promised that in the Bible. And now, Lord, we pray you would open heaven. You would open heaven to reveal Jesus. You would pour blessings from heaven upon the people we've been praying for, that they may see what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can believe on its own, what you've prepared for those who love you. Open heaven, Lord, we pray, to reveal eternity to those who are head down, focused on this world, this life, with no hope for the future. Open heaven, we pray, to reveal the truth that heaven has a place for all those who put their faith in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the vision you give us of heaven in your word and in the songs that writers have written for us to sing, to worship. Thank you for the glimpse you give us of eternity and the heavens, the heavenly kingdom Lord, we pray as we sing our last song that we may see you, Jesus, King of Kings, where we started this service, looking at the majesty on high. And empowered by your Spirit, we will go out transformed and transform the world we go out to. Amen. The reason why we have this last hymn to finish the service with is I could sense a desire last week that you really wanted to sing this and were disappointed when it ended. Sheila played, for those who weren't here, you can hear it on the, you may be able to hear it on the internet, I'm not sure if it's there, because it's probably not, because it's a copy of someone else's, so it's probably not there. But what happened was Sheila played a track from a CD with some famous words on it of about the indescribable nature of God. And someone was re-quoting those words. And in the background, and it moved into Crown Him with Many Crowns. And I could hear you singing it and thinking. And then it stopped because that was the end of the track. And I thought, you wanted to sing it. And we only did it a couple of weeks ago. But we're going to do it again now. Because it's a glorious hymn of a glorious truth. I never normally give such an intro to a hymn, but you know, we built it up now, haven't we? And you can't overbuild this hymn. So crown him with many crowns. Praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.